Warren. In his time. Yeah. And that involves the surrender that we sang about too. Just being patient with the Lord is patient. In his time, it's all going to work out. It's all good. And then, you know, you think about in heaven, is there time? Probably not. And you don't have to worry about setting your clocks ahead or anything like that. Or if you're not a morning person, it doesn't matter if you're not a morning person, okay? It's just, you know, yeah. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning, your blessings every day. You are faithful. We turn to you, Lord. We praise you. And we come to listen to you, to be built up that we may bring it to others. So speak to us through your word. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Our second reading is from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Here end the readings.
We'll read responsibly as well, perhaps, the Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He will not always accuse. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister for from the heart. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your word. May it speak to us in the way that we need to hear, Lord, each of us individually, through your Spirit. Amen. All right, we've been working through the fruits of the Spirit. We've so far looked at the love, joy, and peace. Today is patience. Then we'll be followed by the others, of course. So patience as a fruit of the Spirit. It should be seen inside of Christians. You know, we should be seen as patient people. Not because we are patient, but this is a fruit of the Spirit within us, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit within us, and God is patient. We are human, and we have our limits. We all do. Some of us have, you know, more patience. Some have a little bit less, and maybe it depends on the situation or what you're dealing with. We're out fishing, we have a lot of patience. If you're dealing with someone that, I don't know, gets on your nerves, maybe you have very little patience. It can really vary. And patience can run out, and then we can do brash things. And we have to be wary of that. Also, when patience runs out, it takes time to refill that bucket. Can we just instantly refill that bucket? Usually not. Unless God's going to pour into us. He can fill that bucket as quickly as he wants. It could be instantaneous. But as humans, it takes time to refill that bucket of patience. We have different things we can try to do. We can count to 10, something like that, or maybe 100, maybe 1,000 at times. Okay, it can vary once again. You can go for a walk, spend time in prayer. That can really refocus and recenter your thoughts. Very valuable way to do that. And, you know, patience is perhaps even harder to hold today than for our ancestors in the past. Think about back before they had clocks or anything like that. Yeah. You didn't really have to be to a meeting at 10 o'clock because nobody knew when that was. Native American cultures, they would say, I'll see you in 3 moons, and, you know, that would be in 3 months, you know, give or take, in that time period, we'll meet again. You know, time and patience are just intertwined. They're inextricably linked. If it wasn't for time, we really wouldn't have to have patience. We live in an instant society, microwaves, where we can cook very quickly. Our ancestors over our fire or else our cast iron stove or something, it took a while. Fast food, access to information, now we can just pull out something out of your pocket and look up the meaning of something or whatever. Communications, again, you can talk to someone in Tokyo on the other side of the world instantly instead of writing a letter and waiting so long for it to get there and then it's longer yet for the answer to get back. So we live in this instant society. And as a result, our patience might be even a little bit shorter because we're used to getting things just right when we want. But sometimes the old ways and the slow ways are better. Think about a slow-cooked meal rather than something that's microwaved. Yeah, there's something to that, isn't there? It takes patience, especially if you're home all day and you got something in the crock pot, you get to smell it cooking all day, you're just waiting, stomach grumbling. Or think about trees, maybe an oak tree growing versus a cottonwood. The cottonwood springs right up, right? The oak tree takes a long time to grow, but that wood is very solid. It's very firm. There's something to be said for that. So some things do take time. Something like healing, perhaps. We can be very impatient with that. If you break an arm or something like that, and you have to be patient for it to heal up, or else you got back problems, and you're ordered not to lift anything or move around too much for a certain number of weeks, you have to be very patient. Patience is something that has to be learned. Little kids aren't always known for their patience. You know, they don't really have that sense of time yet. And they just, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or is it Christmas yet? Or, you know, they don't really know. And perhaps as we age, you look at older folks, maybe they are a little more patient. They've learned to be. But these are all, you know, human views on patience. I guess what's more important is what God has to say about it. Always, right? What we think or what God says. Definitely what God says, right? But through James, he wrote, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. He tells us to be patient. The The patience again required for many things. We had said healing earlier, but I didn't really mention. I just said physical healing. Does it take a while for emotional healing and spiritual healing as well? And we have to be patient as well, right? But he gives a wonderful example here. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Yeah. Farmers have to be patient. Is there anything you can do to speed up the growing process? I don't think so. It'd be nice, you know, you plant one day, harvest the next, you know, and then you could plant another crop, harvest right away again. No, it takes time. It's sort of the way God designed it. It's not like you plant an apple seed and you get apples the next day. Do you get them the next month, the next year? No. You have to wait for years for that tree to grow up until you can get those apples. We have to be patient. So he tells us, you too, be patient and stand firm. We have to be patient in all kinds of circumstances, but waiting for the Lord's coming is what he was talking about here. And then standing firm, of course. Always stand firm. We're not going to give in when it comes to our beliefs and what God says. Alrighty. Another example is given then. James is good about that. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord. You read all through the Old Testament and the prophets. They went through a lot of suffering, but they are patient through it because they knew how things are going to end. We do too. We know how the story ends when it comes to our lives and all of time. And in God's time, how that story ends. And you turn to Revelation there. It's foreshadowed, it's prophesied all throughout the Bible. We know who the winner is. We know how the story ends. But we have to be patient. Patient in the face of suffering. That's perhaps one of the hardest things to be patient in. In some things it's easier to be patient, in others it's tougher. And suffering, absolutely. Anybody enjoy suffering? No, we want it to come to an end. If you're going through physical suffering, mental suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering, it's hard. But we are to be patient. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. By persevering, by having patience through it, we will eventually be blessed. He cites another example of Job. Talk about patience there. Everything falling apart. We've all had those days where everything goes wrong. Nothing compared to Job. It wasn't just one day. That was a long time. But in the end, was God faithful? Absolutely. So when we're going through these times of suffering, or we're going through the hard times, be patient. Be patient. Do what you can, of course, to do good and to, you know, bring it to a closer or quicker end, perhaps. So be patient. Alrighty, because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He's there with us. He cares. That's the compassion part. And he has mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. So the Lord is compassionate and full of mercy. He is also patient. And that's what we had heard about in 2 Peter today. God's patience. I know he's been patient with me, and I think everybody here could say the same, that he's extremely patient with us. Peter writes, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. It says like a thousand years, just a long period of time is what they're saying here. It's not equal to, there's not two lines saying equal to a thousand years. But he's very patient. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Again, time is not really relevant to God. He's got all the time in the world, all the time in the universe. He was there before time began, if there was a beginning to time. It's one of those things that make you go, trying to think about it. And does time come to an end? If we look at our universe, we could look at, you know, the formation of that. Is that where time began, or did time exist before then? And okay, you're going to start doing somersaults in your brain. But it doesn't matter to God. He is. He is. I can say he was, or he's going to be. Well, he was, of course, but he is. He's going to be, but he is. He described himself as I am. Present. Present tense, but present. That's a neat way to think about it. Yeah, he's present. He is. So, again, the time doesn't matter to him. He is. Alrighty. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. as some understand slowness. And we, of course, who live in this day and age and in this time, and we live by time, we have a certain amount of time in the physical. Time matters to us. And, you know, slow in keeping his promise, we look at our watch and go, okay, it hasn't happened yet, it hasn't happened yet, it hasn't happened. You know, with God, no worries. He is. Instead, he is patient with you and me and all of us. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everybody to join him, to accept him, to receive what he offers. It's a free gift, salvation. Jesus paid the price. All we have to do is receive it. We can't do anything to earn it. We are the passive, not the active. We are receiving it. So he wants everybody to come to repentance because it requires that. There's a little bit more to it. We have to repent of our past, of our sins, what we've done. Bring it to God, confess it, say I'm sorry, and genuinely mean it. And then try to change our ways, to follow him, to become that new creation in Christ. And when you are that new creation, the old is gone, the new is come, and you find yourself wanting to follow God. You don't have to be led along. It's not like putting a bridle on a horse having to lead it. We willingly follow. We want to follow because that's now who we are, because we have been changed. So with this patience, he gives people every chance. He's there waiting. He's there waiting patiently. We also heard about his patience today in Psalm 103. David, and this is thankful, and we should be as well, with these attributes of God, among them patience, saying he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That slow to anger is being patient too, isn't it? Not quickly jumping to anger. Boy, if God did that, whew, you'd see a bunch of smoking craters where people were. That's all you'd see, right? Okay. But no, he's patient, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. If he were to hold our past against us, none of us would have a chance. I mean, every little thing. You remember that thing you did on August 3rd of 1985? No, but I'm sure I did something wrong. Okay. Okay, God, I'm sorry. So he's slow to anger, and he does not hold our past against us because our sin has been removed, right? As far as the east is from the west, like we said earlier. And thank you, Lord, for that. So no, he's not going to hold our past against us if we have repented, if we have turned to him. It says in verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's mercy, right? We don't get what we deserve. Or repay us according to our iniquities. And that would be huge. His love and his patience are infinite, right? For as high as the heavens are above the earth. How high is that? Well, space goes on forever, doesn't it? Wow. As high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is his love for those who fear him. And his patience. And his kindness. And his goodness. His faithfulness. Wow. That's a lot of love. I know I'm humbled by it. And as far as the east is from the west, once again, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. It's sort of like in a courtroom drama or something, you say, strike that from the record. They strike it from the record. It does not exist in the eyes of the judge or the jury. It cannot be held against us. Thank you, Lord. So his love for us, his patience for us, immeasurable. And that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God I love to serve. That's the kind of God I willingly serve. That's the kind of God I'm thankful to serve. That kind of God who has that kind of patience. It's sort of like the first case that we heard about in the gospel today. We heard about two cases there. This passage, of course, speaks of forgiveness and is typically preached on forgiveness. But we're going to look at the patience aspect of it because patience was mentioned twice in there. Two people asked for patience. The first one owed a large amount. And, of course, we owe a large amount as well, right? The servant fell on his knees before the master and said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything. Be patient." Well, patience was not shown. And instead he said, "Your debt's forgiven, it's cleared." So he asked for patience but didn't receive any. Instead he received something better. His debt was done away with. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, cannot be held against him, stricken from the record. Thanks. If we have received that, we should show that to others as well, right? So his fellow servant, who owed him just a small amount, much smaller amount anyway, said, "Be patient with me and I'll pay it back." Again, "Be patient with me and I'll pay it back." And again, patience was not shown. Both times it was asked for, "Please, please be patient with me." First time, there was no patience, just, "Okay, you're good." The second time, "Please, please be patient with me." He was not patient. Threw him into debtor's prison, where he suffered. How big is our debt? Yeah. If you're adding it all up, it's a lot. But the good news is, when we repent and bring it before God, genuinely mean it, "I want to follow you instead. I give up on all this old stuff," it's removed. It's that first case, not the second. If we repent. If someone doesn't repent, well, it does not end well. I don't know if repentance is something we take seriously enough. We just, "Okay, thanks God for the free gift." You know, do we repent and do we take the time to be thankful? How thankful should we be that we have a God whose love extends forever, who is that patient with us, and who is willing to forgive everything if we turn to him? Yeah, our debt is huge, but thankfully you don't have to pay it back. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen.